and recognize Estefan for, and the witness in the box who is still under oath to proceed with the evidence. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Carter, we have dealt with the factual matter in relation to charge one for the Honorable Shivambu. I'd now like to, while it is still fresh in our minds, the video clip that is, and the relevant sections and the relevant rules, I'd like to deal with charge one also for Mr. Ramakatsa. And Mr. Ramakatsa's notice is at bundle C, pages 6 to 10. Bundle C, pages 6 to 10. Are you at page 6?
Yes, I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
You previously confirmed before the lunch interval that charge 1 for Mr. Makatsa is the same as charge 1 for the Honorable Shivambu. I'm not going to ask you to read it into the record yet again, except to say that it is that charge that has as part of its formulation Mr. Ramakatsa's refusal to obey the instruction of the speaker that he takes his seat. And the allegation or the charge against Mr. Ramakatsa is that this conduct impeded the House from performing or exercising its function of oversight over the executive. We are still in that territory of the Act, dealing with Section 13, read together with Section 7A of the Act, and you've read that into the record previously. I'm not going to ask that you do so again now. What I would like to do, though, my apologies, I'd like to refer you to the part of the Hansard at page 28, bundle B, page 28. And it appears that there's some technical glitch which has had the result that a person has been incorrectly identified in the Hansard, and I'd hate for Mr. Matiase to be prejudiced in this way. At the bottom of page 28 of the Hansard, the last entry there appears to read Mr. Matiase. Do you see that?
I do, Mr. Chair.
I think it might be useful if we can just, for present purposes, ask Mr. Jerome Adonis to play that part of the clip at 54 minutes and 30 seconds. Roughly up until 55 minutes, basically.
Honorable Lumisa is now supposed to come to the
front.
Honorable Lumisa, please
Can you please be provided with answers, not hiding behind...
Honorable member, that's not the point of order. Please take your seat. Take your seat. Honorable Olumisa.
Speaker.
Honorable Shibambu, take your seat.
There's a question.
Sorry, Mr. Adonis, if I can ask you to just replay it. There is a gentleman that is standing, and I'd like you to just freeze or pause. If you go back to 54 minutes and 30 seconds.
Lumisa is now supposed to come to control. Honorable Olumisa, please take...
Can we please be provided with answers? Not hiding behind...
Honorable...
Thank you. Can you please identify that gentleman there, Mr. Tasso?
Mr. Chairman, that gentleman is the Honorable Mr. R.P. Ramakata. And I might just indicate this in view of what all the technical error you indicated earlier on. I think you went through the version of Hansard in Bangle A, and the name of Mr. Ramakata is correctly indicated there. But I just thought I should mention that. But that is Mr. Ramakata, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. And when the Hansard at page 28 at the bottom records point of order, could we please be provided with answers, not hiding behind Parliament, ... inaudible. Those words are being spoken by the person in the frame at the moment.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
And that person is Mr. Ramakata.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
If we can just continue playing that clip for maybe a few seconds longer, no more than 30.
It's not a point of order. Please take your seat. Take your seat. Honorable Olumisa.
Honorable Speaker.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Adonis. Now, with reference to the Hansard, we've seen the charge is formulated in relation to Mr. Ramakata being charge one. If you go over the page, at page 29, bottom of page 28, over the page at page 29, can you just read, please, into the record what the speaker says to Mr. Ramakata?
You mean at the top of page 29?
At the top of page 29.
The speaker, honorable member, that is not a point of order. Please take your seat. Take your seat, honorable Olumisa.
Thank you. Then what I'd like to do is to go to the next person who is also charged in relation to charge one, and that is Ms. Litchfield Chabalala. We will find her notice in bundle C at pages 11, 12, 13 and 14. Bundle C, pages 11, 12, 13 and 14.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
Will you just confirm, I think you did it earlier, but just confirm before we go to the Hansard and the clip, that this charge is the same as charge one, faced by the Honourable Shivambu?
It is the same, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Now, in relation to the Hansard at bundle B and at page 29,
Mr. Chairman.
We see an exchange, and you've testified to that exchange earlier. That exchange is between the Speaker and the Honourable Shivambu. ending with the speaker attempting to recognize Mr. Olamisa right at the bottom. Do you see that?
Let's go right again, see, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Then across the page, after the speaker has attempted to have Mr. Olamisa rise to take the floor, what happens after that?
According to the answer, then Ms. Litchfield Chabalala says, Honorable Speaker.
Following that, if you can just take us through that exchange on that page 30 of the Hansard, Bundle B.
The speaker says, no, please take your seat, Honorable Member of the EFF. But we have not been answered. The speaker says, take your seat, I am presiding. Honorable Ms. Chabalala, Litchfield Chabalala, we want the money. The Honorable, then the speaker says, take your seat. Ms. Litchfield Chabalala, just pay back the money. Then the speaker says, Honorable Olamisa.
Thank you. If you can pause there for a moment. With reference to page 30 and the exchanges between the speaker and Ms. Litchfield Chabalala, there appears to be at least three counts where the speaker directs Ms. the Honorable Litchfield Chabalala to take her seat. Would that be correct to say?
According to the answer I have in front of me, that is correct, Mr. Chairman.
At this point, according to the Hansard, and we'll refer to the clip shortly, Ms. Litchfield Chabalala had been in the House from the start of the session. Would that be correct to say?
Chair, certainly Ms. Litchfield Chabalala was in the House during this exchange. I cannot confirm that she would have been there at the start of the sitting.
At the bottom of page 29, the speaker says to the Honorable Shivambu, I will throw you out of the House. I will throw you out of the House if you don't listen. Honorable Olamisa, please. And then over the page, rather than the Honorable Olamisa rising to speak, the Hansard records the Honorable Litchfield Chabalala rising to speak. Do you see that?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
From your reading of the Hansard, would you say that the Honorable Litchfield Chabalala was in the House when the Honorable Speaker addressed Mr. Shivambu?
Yes.
Ultimately calling on Mr. Olamisa to speak?
Yes.
In this exchange, does the Honorable Litchfield Chabalala raise a point of order by your reckoning or reasoning?
And what I read here do not indicate that the Honourable Member said I'm rising on a point of order. What I have in front of me.
From your experience in the House and having been present on that day, and the Hansard indicating that the Speaker has called upon the Honourable Olamisa to take the floor and speak, might it be that Ms. Litchfield Chabalala thought it was her turn to speak?
If you look at the preceding pages, at least page 29, at the bottom of page 29, the speaker clearly says, Honorable Olamisa, please. The speaker did not mention, at this point at least, the Honorable Ms. Lishville Chabalala, according to this answer.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I do not mean to make much of it other than to observe that there are from time to time very deep sighs, at least perceptible and audible to me from where I sit. If it is the case that some people who are present in this house or this room today are exhausted, could we please ask them to keep their audible exercise of their exhaustion to themselves? I understand that this might come across as tedious, but it is important that all the facts are put on the table carefully and orderly. I'm now going to ask Mr. Jerome Donis to play a part of the audio that relates to this exchange. That part of the audio is, my apologies, the video footage is at 55 minutes and 8 seconds to 55 minutes and 43 seconds.
Yes, the question of Honorable Shimanu has not recognized you.
And he has not answered the question.
Honorable Shimanu, I will throw you out of the house. I will throw you out of the house if you don't listen. Honorable Wolomisa, please.
Honorable Speaker.
Honorable Speaker.
Ivo.
No. Please take your seat, Honorable Member of the EFF.
But we are not answered.
Take your seat. I am presiding.
We want the money. The Honorable Minister, take your seat. Just pay back the money.
Honorable Member of the EFF, take your seat. Thank you, Mr. Adonis. Mr. Caso, I watched and listened, as I'm sure we all are doing a bit carefully, and there is a voice that at some point says, Haibo. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman.
Would you venture a guess, or from having been in the house on that day, who is speaking and saying Haibo?
Mr. Chair, the Chair had just recognized Honorable Olomisa. My recollection is that it was Honorable Olomisa was rising to speak and at the time, but who could not proceed.
I will argue later that a highball there is an expression, to put it mildly, of disquiet, and more properly an expression of being affronted by an opportunity to speak, not being respected by others. That, however, is a matter for argument later. Does Ms. Litchfield, the Honorable Litchfield Chabalala, and notwithstanding the speaker's directions to do so, and notwithstanding the high ball, take her seat?
The concert reflects that immediately Ms. Litchfield Chabalala says, but we have not been answered. Then speaker responds, take your seat, I am presiding. Ms. Litchfield Chabalala said, we want the money. The Honorable, then Speaker says, take your seat, and then she says, just pay back the money. So the indication here certainly is that she didn't take her seat.
Thank you. I will argue later with reference to the video footage that the video confirms what you have said now, that the Honorable Litchfield Chabalala did not take her seat. I'd now like to refer to charge one in respect of the Honorable Mr. Ndlozi, or my apologies, the Honorable Mr. Gardi, and that is at pages 15 to 18 of Bundle C. 15 to 18 of Bundle C.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
We've referred to this previously. If you can just cast your eye over charge 1, bottom page 15, top of page 16, please, and confirm that it is indeed the same charge 1 as faced by the Honourable Mr. Shivambu.
I confirm, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. If we can then go back to the Hansard, bundle B. I'd like to start at the bottom of page 30 and to work through bottom page 30 roughly to through a quarter at the top of page 32. Bottom page 30 to the first quarter at the top of page 32.
Yes, I'm there, sir. Should I read? The speaker at the bottom is Honorable Olumisa. And then Honorable Mr. Gadi says, Honorable Speaker. Then the speaker says, Honorable Member of the EFF, take your seat. Honorable Mr. J. Gadi says, can I address you on? Then there's a gap. Then the speaker says, take your seat. I'm not recognizing you. Honorable Mr. Gadi, can we address you on this issue? The speaker, I am not recognizing you. Honorable Gadi, if you could only listen and then decide whether to sustain the matter or not. The speaker, honorable member, I am presiding. I'm allowing honorable members to talk to the president. Get supplementary questions. Honorable Gadi, honorable speaker, the issue here is about the money. The speaker, take your seats, honorable members. Take your seat, take your seat. I would have to ask the sergeant at arms to take out members who are not serious about this sitting.
Thank you. Now, having read those provisions or those parts of the Hansard and having been present in the House on that day, do you see anywhere there the formulation of what might properly, genuinely, legitimately be called a point of order?
Mr. Chair, I don't read a word point of order here. I don't read a word point of procedure, which is sometimes the approach that members take instead of saying point of order. Because a point of order has to relate to matters of procedure in the House. Thanks.
Now, it might well be the case that the person attempting to rise does not say, the Honourable Speaker, I rise on a point of order, might I be allowed to formulate it? It might well be the case that the person just marches straight along and formulates what, upon careful listening later, is quite clearly a point of order. In your assessment, is that any part of the Honourable Mr. Gardy's intervention at this point?
Mr. Chairman, the only assessment I can make is on page 32, where Mr. Gadi, Honorable Gadi, says, Honorable Speaker, the issue is about the money. I am not in a position to make an assessment on the other aspects. There's nothing that says point of order, nothing that says point of procedure. The Honorable Member says, can we address you on this issue? Can I address you on? If you could only listen, then decide whether to sustain the matter or not. So that is my response, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kaso. Now, I would like to ask Mr. Adonis to play a part of the clip starting at 55 minutes and ending roughly at 56 minutes and 18 seconds. 55 minutes, ending roughly at 56 minutes and 18 seconds.
Honorable Shivambu, take your seat. I have not recognized you.
And you have not answered the question.
Honorable Shivambu, I will throw you out of the house. I will throw you out.
out of the house if you don't listen. Honorable Volomisa, please.
Honorable Speaker.
Honorable Speaker.
I go.
No. Please take your seat, Honorable Member of the EFF.
Party, we are not answered.
Take your seat. I am presiding.
We want the money. The Honorable Minister for Health of Release just pay back the money.
Honorable Olomisa.
Honorable Speaker.
Honorable Member of the EFF, take your seat.
Can I...
Take your seat. I am not recognized.
The gentleman in the frame there, Mr. Carso, just to confirm who that person is.
That's Honorable Gadi.
Thank you. If you can, Mr. Adonis, please continue to play the clip.
I am not recognizing you.
If you can only listen and decide whether...
Honorable Member, I am presiding and I'm allowing Honorable Members to talk to the President.
Honorable Speaker,
supplementary question
about the money when he
take your seat, Honorable Members.
Can you get
take your seat. I will have to ask the second at arms to take out members who are not serious about this sitting.
Thank you, Mr. Adonis. Mr. Carso, before we get to how many times the Speaker implores the Honorable Mr. Gardi to take his seat, the context here is important. Right at the bottom of page 31, can you please just read into the record what the Speaker is recorded as having said there?
Honorable Member, I am presiding, and I'm allowing Honorable Members to talk to the President. Get supplementary questions.
And so the intervention of the Speaker appears to be explained by her there, why she's intervening.
That's correct.
And from your having been in the House on that day, who is the Speaker referring to when she says, and I'm allowing Honourable Members to talk to the President and get supplementary questions?
The statement is reflected here, Honourable Member. And clearly, Speaker is referring to the member who spoke just before Speaker spoke. Honourable Member, I am presiding. I'm allowing Honourable Members to talk to the President. So Speaker would be referring here to members who were in the queue to ask supplementary questions.
And from having worked with this record for some time now, who was next in the queue?
Was Honorable Olomisa.
Thank you. Mr. Carso, staying with your eye on page 31. It appears by my account that the Speaker is addressing Mr. Gardi, saying, take your seat, saying, take your seat twice, and saying, I'm not recognizing you once. Do you see that on that page?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair.
Did Mr. Gardi, in fact, take his seat?
During this interaction, he did not take his seat, according to what I see on video as well.
Thank you. In relation to charge one, I'd also now like to move on to the next honourable member. I think it is Honourable Mr. Ndlozi. If I might ask you please, Mr. Carso, to return to bundle C, pages 19 to 22. pages 19 to 22.
I am there, Mr. Chairman.
This is a notice in relation to Mr. Ndlozi. It is dated the 18th of September 2014, and casting your eye on overcharge 1 at the bottom of page 19, top of page 20, will you please just confirm that that is in the same, that charge is in the same terms as charge 1 faced by Mr. Shivambu, Mr. Gardi, Ms. Litchfield Chabalala?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The relevant part of the Hansard is at bundle B. And at page 32, it continues over the page at page 33. I think it would be useful, Mr. Adonis, if I might ask you, please, just to go 30 seconds back from where you are. I'm using an arbitrary measure. If you can do it at 10 or 15 seconds, that would be fine. If not, if we're delayed by 15 seconds, so be it.
I am not recognizing you.
If you can only listen and
decide when you are saying I am presiding and I'm allowing honorable members to talk to the president on a supplementary question.
About the money when the
take your seat, honorable members.
Can you get
take your seat. Take your seat. I will have to ask the president that I'm to take out members who are not serious about this sitting.
Honorable Speaker, I'm asking for to be recognized, Honorable Speaker.
Please assist me with releasing the members who are in this house who are not serious about this sitting to take their leave.
Who are raising a point of order.
I am not allowing a point of order.
With reference to the Hansard, I will make argument later that I'd better not pollute the well of your mind with what happened at that point by way of argument. For present purposes, and in relation to page 32, we now know from having watched the clip on a number of occasions that a number of honorable members have quite literally risen and they're on their feet and standing. Do you also see that?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chairman.
One of those members is referred to at this point in the Hansard at page 32. It's the third entry at page 32, being Mr. Ndlozi. Do you see that?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
And the speaker says to Mr. Ndlozi, take your seat. Do you see that?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
And shortly thereafter, with any number of members rising, the speaker is recorded as saying, please assist me with relieving the members of this house who are not serious about this sitting to take their leave. Do you see that?
I see that, yes.
What I'd like to do now is to return to Mr. Shivambu. Mr. Shivambu's notice for the hearing is in bundle C at pages 1 to 5. I'd like to deal at this stage with charge 2, bundle C, and it's at page 2 of bundle C.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
If you can please read charge 2 into the record.
Charge 2. It is alleged that you are guilty of conduct constituting contempt of Parliament in terms of section 13C of the Act, in that as a member of Parliament and during questions to the President in the National Assembly on 21 August 2014, you willfully failed and or refused to obey Rule 51 and Rule 53(1) read together of the rules of the National Assembly, that you refused to withdraw immediately from the chamber for the remainder of the day's sitting when you are ordered to do so by the Speaker.
Thank you. I'd just like you to return very briefly to the relevant part of the Act and the rules. You will find those parts of the Act and the rules in Bundle A. In relation to the Act, you'll find it at pages 43 to 52 of Bundle A.
Yes, I am there, Mr. Chairman.
If you can just read into the record section 13C, please. Section 13C. My apologies, at page 48.
Conduct constituting contempt. A member is guilty of contempt of Parliament if the member willfully fails or refuses to obey any rule, order, or resolution of a House or the Houses.
Thank you. And the rule in question, rules in question 51 and rule 53(1), you'll find the relevant part of the rules reproduced also in bundle A. Starting at page 54, bundle A.
There, Mr. Chairman.
Rule 51, if you can please read 51 into the record.
If the presiding officer, the title of the rule is member ordered to withdraw, if the presiding officer is of the opinion that a member is deliberately contravening a provision of this rule, comma, or that a member is in contempt of or is disregarding the authority of the chair, comma, or that a member's conduct is grossly disorderly, comma, he or she may order the member to withdraw immediately from the chamber for the remainder of the day's sitting.
Thank you. And if I could ask you to turn over the page, Rule 53(1) is reproduced there, page 55.
Title, member to withdraw from precincts of Parliament. A member ordered to withdraw from the chamber or suspended or named, subject to Rule 2, forthwith withdraw, shall, subject to sub-rule 2, forthwith withdraw from the precincts of Parliament.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mr. Adonis to play a certain portion of the clip. It is maybe 45 seconds long. It starts at minute 56 and 16 seconds up to and including minute 57 and 31 seconds.
Take
your seat, honorable members.
Can you get us
out of this? Take your seats. I will have to ask the second at arms to take out members who are not serious about this sitting.
Honorable, I'm asking for to be recognized, honorable speaker.
Second at arms, please assist me with releasing the members who are in this house who are not serious about this sitting to take their
leave.
Honorable members,
all we are
going to do is to leave the house.
thank you, Mr. Adonis. Now, at that point, the speaker has asked the Sergeant of Arms to assist my apologies, I'm just going to the relevant part of the Hansard. It's at the bottom of page 32 of Bundle B. My apologies, page 32 of Bundle B. I'll read it into the record. It says, the speaker, Sergeant at Arms, please assist me with relieving the members in this house who are not serious about the sitting to take their leave. Do you see that?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
At the bottom of page 33, right at the bottom, are you there? Please read that into the record, right at the bottom, what the speaker says.
Honourable members, I am calling security. I'm suspending the house for a few minutes for these honourable members to leave.
Thank you. Now, if I can then, you've already given evidence on this. Back to page 29, right at the bottom, still staying with the Hansard. If you can read that last bit into the record, this is the end of an exchange between Mr. Shivambu and the speaker.
The speaker, Sergeant at Arms, please assist me with relieving the members in this house who are not serious about this sitting to take their leave.
Sorry, my apologies. Page 29.
The speaker, Honorable Shivambu, I will throw you out of the house. I will throw you out of the house if you don't listen. Honorable Olomisa, please.
Thank you. Now the charge that the Honourable Shivambu and others face at charge 2 is not withdrawing from the house immediately.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
You have read the rules and you've referred to the relevant portion of the Act. If you can cast your eye over it again, I think it was Rule 51 and then Rule 53.1.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
In what circumstances would the Speaker ordinarily take such a step as requiring, instructing, ordering an honourable member to leave the House or withdraw from the House immediately?
In terms of this rule, Mr. Chairman, if the Speaker is of the opinion that, one, a member is deliberately contravening a provision of their rules, that's number one, or that a member is in contempt of or is disregarding the authority of the chair. Number two, or that a member's conduct is grossly disorderly, he or she may order the member to withdraw immediately from the chamber for the remainder of the day's sitting. So it could be any of these, or it could be a combination of this.
Thank you, Mr. Kasa. You've seen the footage. The relevant part of the footage reaches a crescendo in that frame which appears as a still on the screens. In your assessment, and experience, is the speaker reasonably exercising her power to require a person to withdraw at that stage?
If you may repeat the question through your chair.
You've seen the footage up to that point. Any number of members are on their feet, speaking simultaneously, gesticulating, some speaking louder than others, etc. The speaker then has asked members to withdraw from the house. It's an extraordinary thing to ask somebody to withdraw from the house. In your experience, is the speaker acting within her power to require withdrawal from the house at that stage?
It is my understanding, Mr. Chair, and the committee, that the Speaker was acting in terms of Rule 51 at that point. and Rule 51, as I read and as reflected in the rules. Contravention of rules, disregarding the authority of the chair, or a member's conduct being grossly disorderly, if the speaker makes that determination.
In your assessment, is the conduct of the members as displayed in the video footage up to that point orderly?
Mr. Chair, all I can say is that the members who are standing there were not recognized by the speaker. And a member may not speak unless recognized. Or raising a point of order that the speaker would have acknowledged, yeah, for lack of a better word. So the members are all standing, not recognized by the speaker, addressing the speaker. There's a rule in the rules, Rule 49, which says whenever the presiding officer rises during a debate, any member then speaking or offering to speak shall resume his or her seat, and the presiding officer shall be heard without interruption. Certainly, in this inset, the speaker was not being heard in silence. And as members would be aware, at least in the guide, I can also read that this rule has been applied or understood to mean that when the speaker addresses the House, any member then speaking or offering to speak shall resume his or her seat, and the presiding officer shall be heard without interruption. In the event, Mr. Chair, as you to answer your question, all the members who are standing now, in terms of the video clip, were not recognized by the speaker to speak. And they were speaking, some of them, through the mic at the same time. That is all I can speak. I can only speak here, Chair, in terms of the rules, what the rule says.
It might be suggested that it is unclear who the speaker is referring to when the speaker says she's requesting the sergeant at arms to assist her in requiring the members who are not serious to leave the House. What would your comment be on that?
Chair, my comment would be on rule, would refer the matter to Rule 51. I think Rule 51 is quite clear. Any contravention of these, or any conduct that is in terms of this rule, entitles the speaker to order members to withdraw from the House. And therefore, an assessment that must be made, my view, is that one has to look at the conduct and look at the rule. Is the conduct in terms of the rules? Is it in compliance with the rules? Or is the conduct in contravention of the rules? And if it is established that the conduct is a contravention of the rules, therefore this rule must be invoked. If the conduct is disregarding the authority of the chair, if the chair says this thing and a member does something else, in my understanding at least, that is disregarding the authority of the chair in those instances. And I think, Mr. Chair, at this point it is relevant that I quote, with your permission, from a court judgment that dealt with matters of Parliament. If I'm allowed, Mr. Chair, on the issue of the role of the Speaker in these matters.
As long as it has been to the question, Mr.
Chair, in the case, Cape High Court, Judge Fori, that this was a matter between Mr. Rekote and the Speaker, and first respondent and deputy speaker, second respondent. The court said, or the judge said, as explained earlier, a speaker has a duty to maintain order during debates of the National Assembly. And paragraph 44 of the same judgment says, finally, in this regard, I wish to emphasize that the task of controlling debates in Parliament requires particular skills and is best dealt with by the presiding officers who are appointed for this purpose and have to do it on a daily basis. So my answer, Mr. Chairman, is that the Speaker made a determination that Rule 51 was being transgressed, and accordingly, the Speaker invoked Rule 51. And this was in reference to the members who would not have been complying with Rule 50, with some of the rules or the matters that are stated in Rule 51. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Dolis, if I can ask you, please, to take us roughly 30 seconds back from where we are at the moment on the video footage, and I'll signal at the point at which I'd like you to pause.
Bring out members who are not serious about this sitting.
Also, in your assessment, you were in the House on that day. Who is the Speaker speaking to when she directs leave the House and calls on the assistance of the Sergeant at Arms?
Mr. Chairman, as indicated, the Speaker it is my understanding that the Speaker is referring to members who were in her view deliberately contravening a provision of these rules. And I've quoted Rule 49, among others, and the other, I think, is Rule 72. Talking to members who were disregarding the authority of the chair, Speaker was asking members at one point to sit down, and another point to leave the chamber. And members who, in the view of the Speaker, were being grossly disorderly. So the members who would have been standing without being recognized by the chair and actively engaging the chair, speaking through the mic. But that's where I would see the application of Rule 51, this instance.
Thank you. While we are here and in relation to Mr. Amakatsa, now on charge 2, the video clip does, well, let me not tell you what I think the video clip says. The video clip records a number of persons whom the Speaker is apparently addressing and requiring to withdraw from the chamber. Does it include Mr. Amakatsa?
Ramakatsa is standing there between Honorable Monsami and Honorable Maxson. Yes.
Similarly, and in relation to the charge of not withdrawing immediately from the chamber, this is the charge formulated with reference to charge my apologies, section 13C and the rule 51 that you've referred to already, read together with rule 53.1, does that include the Honourable Litchfield Chabalala?
Honourable Litchfield Chabalala is not standing at the moment, but in the course of the video playing, she says something like, pay, all we want is the money, something to that effect, Mr. Chair, I'm subject to correction. But the point that I'm making, this rule would have applied to members who would have either contravened or not done what is required in terms of this rule. And that's my understanding, Mr. Chairman, as a person who was in the House at the time.
And you said earlier on that the speaker is now also referring to people who are speaking out of turn.
Mr. Chair, the rule is saying that when the speaker rises, members then speaking shall resume their seat. To the extent that speaker is addressing the House and members are also addressing the speaker at the same time, that rule is not being complied with.
Thank you. Similarly, and Mr. Gardi also faces charge 2, not withdrawing from the chamber immediately. The same as with the others. We've set out the regulatory framework of Rule 51 and Rule 53.1, as well as Section 13C. Is Mr. Gardi also included in that group, not withdrawing immediately?
Certainly, Speaker. Honourable Chair, it was my understanding. If you watch the video clip, at the time this thing is happening, Mr. Gardi is hitting his desk with a helmet, the Makaraba. And the rule talks about conduct that is disorderly in the determination of the speaker. So it would have been my understanding that a conduct speaker would have made that given that directive based on that. As I say, Mr. Chair, it would have been my understanding. In that manner, having being familiar with the rules and what is the contents of the rule are.
In similar, well, not in similar vein, similarly, in relation to the Honourable Mr. Ndlozi, he also faces charge 2, not withdrawing immediately. The charge framed with reference to section 13C of the Act and rules 51, read together with rule 53.1 of the rules of the National Assembly. Is the speaker also addressing Mr. Ndlozi?
Mr. Chairman, the start of speakers when she started dealing with the issue of members withdrawing, it started at a point Mr. Ndlozi was raising a point of order where speaker did not acknowledge the point of order. And my understanding is that speaker did not take that point of order on the basis that she had ruled when Mr. Ramakantha was raising a point of order that that was not a point of order. So speaker had already made a ruling when Mr. Ramakantha spoke on the matter, and then I think Ms. Litchfield Chabalala rose on the same matter, and Honorable Gardi also rose on the same matter. It was now the Honorable Mr. Ndlozi who was rising, and in Speaker's determination, it was on the same matter. It appears that Speaker's determination was that it was on the same matter, hence she did not acknowledge the point of order as the practice conventions and precedent allows her to do. And the fact that she says somewhere in the answer, I am presiding. And I've just read an assertion by a judge that the speaker has a duty to manage things in the House. So in her determination, being mindful of her duties in the House, she took that position that she was not going to acknowledge further points of order on this matter. And my view is that in the interest of progress in the House. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Castle. Mr. Chairman, we have dealt with the evidentiary material insofar as it relates to charges 1 and 2 in respect of 5 of the honourable affected members, being Mr. Shivambu, Mr. Ramakatsa, Ms. Litchfield Chabalala, Mr. Gardi, and Mr. Ndlozi. I now propose to move to charge 3 insofar as it relates to Mr. Shivambu, and I will similarly at the appropriate time point out where there are more than one of the honourable members facing that charge 3. In relation to charge 3, beginning with the Honourable Shivambu, that is to be found at bundle C at page 2.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
If I can please ask you to read the text of charge 3 into the record.
Charge 3, it is alleged that you are guilty of conduct constituting contempt of Parliament in terms of Section 13A of the Act, in that as a member of Parliament and during questions to the President in the National Assembly on 21 August 2014, you contravened Section 7B of the Act by improperly interfering with the performance by a member of his or her functions as a member in the following manner. When the Speaker requested Mr. B.H. Olomisa, a member of Parliament, to pose a question, i.e. a supplementary question to the President. Your conduct prevented Mr. Olomisa and other members of Parliament who might have wished to ask the President further questions from asking their questions, thereby preventing them from performing one of their functions as a member of Parliament, namely to hold the executive to account by asking the President questions.
My apologies, I'd like you to refer to pages 6 and 7 of Bundle C in the notice. This is a notice in relation to Mr. Ramakatsa.
I am there, Mr. Chairman.
And charge 3, if you can just cast your eye over it.
Yes, I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. This is the charge that also relates directly and specifically to that factual matter where the Speaker had requested the Honourable Mr. Olomisa to pose a question, being a supplementary question, and it is alleged that the Honourable Member prevented Mr. Olomisa and others who might have wished to speak from asking their questions, thereby preventing them from performing one of their functions. That charge appears to be the exact same as the charge 3 faced by Mr. Shivambu. If you can just confirm that, please.
Yes, I confirm, Mr. Chairman.
Similarly, if I might ask you to look, staying with Bundle C, at the notice of the hearing in respect of Ms. Litchfield Shabalala, the Honourable Ms. Litchfield Shabalala, and specifically page 12.
I am there, Mr. Chairman.
Again, this charge relates to the Speaker having called upon the Honourable Mr. Olomisa to pose a question, being a supplementary question, and it is alleged as against the Honourable Litchfield Chabalala that her conduct prevented the Honourable Olomisa from posing his question, and indeed prevented others who might have had supplementary questions from posing their question, and in this instance preventing Mr. Olomisa, the Honourable Mr. Olomisa, from performing one of his functions of holding the executive to account through, for example, asking questions to the President, in this instance by way of a supplementary question. If you can, looking at that charge 3, will you please confirm that that is the same as the charge 3 faced by Mr. Shivambu also?
I can confirm, Mr. Chairman.
And then in My apologies, no, it ends there. What I'd like you to do now, please, Mr. Tasso, is to refer then to the Hansard. At bundle B, and in particular at page 29. Actually, it starts a bit earlier. It starts at page 28. The second last entry. Do you see that?
I do.
The speaker there is recorded as saying, the Honorable Olamisa is now supposed to come to the floor. Do you see that?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
You've given evidence about this previously, and I do not propose that you repeat that evidence now. But having regard to the Hansard, if you can just, with reference to the Hansard, just indicate who are the honorable members who, notwithstanding the speaker trying to call upon the Honorable Olamisa to speak, who speak instead of the Honorable Olamisa.
Mr. Chairman, those that I can identify in terms of the Hansard, in terms of the record I have in front of me, the members who spoke after speaker had recognized Mr. Olamisa. It would have been Mr. Shivambu, Honorable Shivambu, Honorable Ramakatsa. Of course, we've corrected the issue of Honorable Matias. Honorable Ramakatsa, Honorable Gavdi, Honorable Richfield Chabalala, Honorable and Rosie, in terms of the answer. I hope I'm not missing. I'm not.
Thank you.
Name. Thanks.
Now, it might be suggested that in the hurly-burly of a debate in Parliament, there's a quick exchange as between honourable members, and a reminder once, or a note once, that it is now the Honorable Olamisa's turn to speak is not good enough. To the extent that that is suggested, and with reference to the Hansard, starting at page 28 at the bottom.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
Moving through page 32, if you can just indicate how many occasions there, over those pages, the speaker refers directly to the Honorable Olamisa.
You said from page 28, Manish?
From 28, yes.
Okay, on page 28, there is one where the speaker says, the Honorable Olamisa is now supposed to come to the floor. Honorable Olamisa, please take. And then on page 29, which is will be number 2, the speaker says, that is not a point of order. Take your seat, Honorable Olamisa. On page 29 again, at the bottom, the speaker addresses Honorable Shivambu, and then speaker says Honorable Olamisa, so that's number 3. And on page 30, at the bottom of page 30, the speaker says Honorable Olamisa, so that will be number 4. And on page 31, I don't see a reference to Honorable Olamisa. Except a reference that is generic or general, which says, I am allowing honorable members to talk to the president. So up to this, page 31, there would have been four opportunities.
Thank you. So now we know that on four occasions over 4 pages, the speaker has, in a very short space of time, I will contend later, specifically referred to Mr. Olamisa.
Is that correct? That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Is it also correct, specifically referring to the Honorable Olamisa, in an attempt to get him to rise so that he can exercise his duty and function and ask the next supplementary question? Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Having been in the House on that day, did Mr. Olamisa at any point before that session closed get to ask his supplementary question?
No, Mr. Chairman.
You've already given evidence in relation to the highball comment, and I will reserve, Mr. Chairman, and your committee that for argument at a later stage. My apologies, sorry for that break. In relation to charge 2, and that charge is the one not withdrawing from the House, you will recall your evidence, section 13, read together with rules 51 and rules 53.1. I'd like to refer to the notice in respect of the Honourable Mr. Malema. And that notice is at pages 23 and 26, bundle C, 23 to 26 of bundle C.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
If you can please read charge 1 in relation to the Honourable Mr. Malema into the record.
Alleged that you are guilty of conduct constituting contempt of Parliament in terms of Section 13C of the Powers and Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures, Act No. 4 of 2004. In that, as a member of Parliament and during questions to the President in the National Assembly on 21 August 2014, you willfully failed and or refused to obey Rule 51 and 53.1 read together of the rules of the National Assembly, that you refused to withdraw immediately from the chamber for the remainder of the day's sitting when you are ordered to do so by the Speaker.
Mr. Carter, you spent some time on the provisions of Section 13C and Rules 51 and 53.1. I do not propose that you repeat it here. We've also watched the video and it remains, the frame remains frozen at that point. Is Mr. Malema on his feet at, is the Honourable Mr. Malema on his feet at that point?
In terms of the video, according to the video, he is on his feet, Mr. Chair.
From your recollection as to what happened, is the Honourable Mr. Malema on his feet silently, in a silent protest, or is he speaking and engaging and intervening?
Mr. Chairman, the answer does not record Mr. Malema, but the video clip that I've seen, Mr. Malema is actively engaging.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, may I just mention something on Rule 53.1?
Yes.
Rule 53.1 says, a member ordered to withdraw from the chamber or suspended or named shall, subject to rule sub-rule 2, forthwith withdraw from the precincts of Parliament. I just wanted to explain, give even in view of what I said when I started my testimony, just to try to explain the rules. The rules of the NA, National Assembly, make a distinction between suspending a member and naming of a member. Only the Speaker of the National Assembly, in terms of Rule 52, has the authority to suspend a member. Now, the rule says if it is another presiding officer who happens to be in the chair when a contravention occurs, that presiding officer shall name the member and then report to the Speaker, who may then take such action as he or she deems necessary. And of course, a member who has been named shall also leave the chamber. So the naming in the context of these rules means exactly that, that another presiding officer, if the presiding officer is of the view that an order to withdraw is inadequate, cannot suspend unless it is the Speaker, but can simply name. In other jurisdictions, like the House of Commons, once a member is named, what follows would be a motion for the suspension of the member. That is not necessarily the case here. So naming in our context follows a different route. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Carso. There is also a charge that relates to a number of honorable members in the House on that day, being 21 August.
Sorry, could I just ask something for clarity? I'd just like to ask something for clarity.
Yeah, I think the agreement or the arrangement was that we must just note all points of clarity that we see. And at the moment, we give the session to the initiator and to lead the evidence. You can just pick up all those particular points. When the initiator is completed, then honorable members then will be requested then to ask points of clarity. That's how we've agreed, and we are not closed off. We are trying to make sure that the leading of evidence is as smooth as possible so that it gets completed, and then we have our chance then to indicate. All what we need to do is that if we could just jot down the point that you need, like maybe luckily before the evidence is completed, some of those points may have been clarified in some other manner when dealing with others. Can we just simply afford them just to complete the leading of evidence? And please, let's keep our records of those points that you'll need assistance just after the evidence has been completed. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, but the agreement was that we are not going to engage. Where we need a point of clarity, we need to raise it. I think that was our agreement earlier.
I would have loved us to actually just stick to the real agreement that we have made to allow the initiator to lead evidence. Otherwise, then we are going to be very disruptive to the leading of evidence, and whereas we're supposed to actually ensure that section is completed, and when it has been done so, and then now the initiator will take a back seat, and then we ask those specific questions, and then we get them clarified. Even if it means coming back to these snippets and whatever, it it will be done, and we will complete when all of you are satisfied.
So, sir, the problem that is practically we're faced with here is that how do we identify the exact time where we want to, in other words, we can record here as profusely as we can, and then how do we then later see?
Can I have the point of order?
Okay, I'll go on a second. But I just wanted to know practically how we...
On a point of order, Chair.
Honorable Fulton, the point of order is raised.
No, I thought that, Chairperson, it's late in the afternoon, we understand, but practically we have agreed on the process. And how we want to start is start detailing at which stage should you start getting clarity. That means fundamentally we interfere with the commitment that we have made when we met this particular morning. Saying if it's going to be like that, definitely so it interferes with the initiator. Can the initiator be allowed to proceed its conversion? Honorable Chairperson.
Let me, point of order was granted, let me resume then with my question. It's a practical question here. We can either sit here and give more respect to the process and less respect to the result. The problem we've got here is, how do we...
Honorable Fulton.
On a point of order. On a point of order.
When you sustain the point of order, then you can't proceed.
No, I thought he was done with it.
But no,
I said the point of order sustained. That means you should not continue.
But also, we should not be intimidated.
No.
We should not be intimidated.
Honorable Boy, I think we have resolved the matter.
You haven't heard my question, Chair. But now you're granting a point of order. You haven't even heard my question. And it's a very, very helpful
question.
That's
the point of order, Honorable Mdagan. Just hold on, Honorable Fulton.
Chair.
Oh, okay, I'll hold on.
Chair, I want to make a proposal that we break for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, we come back. Just also the comfort break for members who have been sitting. The witness who have been sitting long. I think let us do that and we come back in 5 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. I think a proposal has been made for a comfort break, which was
actually, we are going to encounter a problem.
No,
when Mr. Mdangani, we are closing us out, and we are here also as equal members. You are closing us out.
Instructions from other people.
You are closing us out.
Want to listen to our
order, honourable members.
You are closing us out. Mr. Mdangani will request for break.
You
will grant. You will request. We don't want to go to break. We want to finish this.
Honourable
Member. Don't even consult with us.
No.
Just decide that we must go because Mr. Mdangani is a sinner.
Honourable Matuku.
What do you want to say here?
Honourable Matuku. No. Can we be orderly as honourable members? And no, Honourable Matuku. You are really out of order because Honourable Mdangani has made a proposal. And there has not been an agreement up to that far. And you have not asked for an opportunity to actually make a counter-proposal. And you have already taken that, it is agreed to, that now we are taking a break, and now you have been closed up. And that can't be correct. Please, then we just need to be orderly, and a proposal has been made. Honorable members, what I was really addressing you was that we have agreed that we will come and allow the initiator to move with the leading of the evidence. And all honorable members to actually write down the points that they'll need for clarity. When the initiator has completed in terms of the procedure in the schedule, and then we will then have members to ask points of clarity through the chairperson and have those points of clarity, whether it's actually referred to the initiator and or to the witness, it will be done. Now, I'm not sure what is the problem.
I'll tell you what the problem is, sir.
Because that's what we agreed on. And then the proposal that Honorable Mdagani has made, is there anybody that supports that proposal?
Chair.
You support it? Then are we having any problem against that?
No, Chair. We generally support the proposal of Honorable Mdagani. But On the process, I think we have agreed about the process. Let us not open issues of the process. And Mr. Matluk, I think you must just apologize that when there's a proposal...
Can we in the meantime just switch on the mics? Yes, you'll have an opportunity to speak if you need to speak.
When there is a proposal, you start jumping to speak. When we to speak to the proposal of Mr. Mdaga, I think you must respect the process and apologize. On the matters of the process, we've agreed. We can't tamper with them at this stage.
Yes.
Like we've summarized, we'll revisit any matter that any member want to speak to at the right time when they ask questions. Thanks.
Can I finish my statement?
You
have allowed three people to speak without being interrupted. Just listen to my question. You'll see the importance of
Honorable Filtin.
Thank you very much. No point of order. Please, just now.
No.
Please. Please.
No, Honorable Filtin. Please don't.
No, it's serious now. If people, whenever I try to speak, they keep on. The same
thing.
Point of
order. Take a 5 minutes break.
Honorable
Filtin. We need a balanced approach.
Honorable Filtin.
You need to protect us. You have got a duty to protect us as well, Jay. I can't. This is the third time. Whenever I try to speak, somebody comes in, and you are graceful enough to grant them that.
Honorable Filtin, I want to address your question, but you are speaking without the permission to speak.
And
which is definitely the actual problem of disregarding the rules. And I just need us to respect that, especially as members of this specific committee. Because we are really dealing with matters that seeks to have members of parliament to adhere to the rules and to comply with the rules that we're supposed to operate within. Therefore, you cannot just speak continuously, even when you have not been given the platform. I have actually indicated that you will be given an opportunity to speak. And when you raised the point, there was a point of order. And then the point of order was sustained. But if you still need to speak, you still raise your hand, and then so that you are given the opportunity to speak. And then can we hear what you want to say, Honorable Filtin?
Thank you, sir. My problem with this, what we agreed upon, is the practical application of the agreement, in the sense that,
then
what is happening here?
A point of order is still raised again.
Third time.
Yeah, let's hear why it is
raised. No, third time by the same person, and you want to grant it?
No. Just listen. Why the point of order?
No,
is
Chair,
you are not allowing me the space.
Practically, you are not allowing me the space.
Honourable
on a
member.
Point of order, Chair.
Yes.
We respect the honourable member, but we had already said also in the morning as part of the process that what would be important, because here, this is where we are taking a hearing. If we have issues as members, we should approach you and ask you that you should go and sit outside and talk to each other as members and then come up with a solution. And what is starting to do is fundamentally try to change the process.
Point of order, Chair. This is not a point of order. This is argument. This is argument. This is not a point of order.
Honorable members.
Yeah.
Honorable members, we are not adjourning the hearing. We are not adjourning the hearing. Can we then give ourselves an opportunity of 5 minutes? Then we go and find ourselves exactly how we must actually preside over this hearing. And then we come back. And then we proceed.
Chairperson.
And then we come back and then we proceed because...
Chairperson.
Because at the beginning... Just order, Honorable Member.
Yeah, but...
I want
you to recognize me.
Yes, just order, Honorable Member. Is that agreements were made how we're going to conduct this specific hearing. And we have agreed on that to make sure that it is orderly and it also reaches the necessary conclusion. And then if what we have agreed upon, now there is new developments that you want to reconsider, can you then have the 5 minutes, you go, and then you solve your problems and make sure that now you are on one footing. Then we come in, if those specific matters that needs to be communicated here on the new way of doing things, then you come and actually implement it here. Can we do so?
The problem is,
Honourable,
but I requested to be organized.
Yes, but I've noted you, but now I've just made a ruling to say, let the members go back into that specific room.
No, but I want this to be on record.
And deal with the procedural matters. Deal with the procedural matters, and then come back, all of you reading from the same page. Because surely what is now happening, it doesn't augur well with what you have decided to do. Honorable Matuku, if you just need to make that point in record, can you do so? And then after that, then we'll be moving.
Honorable Chairperson, it will be our problem that we sit in a caucus. We agree, then when we come here, those agreements are not recorded, and we cannot refer to what we have agreed upon. This is exactly what I want to raise here. We have agreed earlier that we will only seek questions of clarity. We have. Now we somersault. We go back, we say we didn't agree on that. So if these things, we go there, we caucus, we don't record, we come here, we are going to argue.
Okay. Honorable members, let's suspend the hearing now, and then let's make sure that we come back at 4:22. That will just give ourselves 10 minutes. It looks like you'll need 10 minutes to be able to find each other. Thank you very much. The witness will remain under oath.
I'm sick of walking and getting coffee.
As long as you wait for the eye.
Thank you. I have my way. Finish the presentation. Okay. I think
I just need to record that I think there is now an agreement that we will allow the initiator and the witness to proceed with evidence, and the honorable members will be keeping some notes and on the issues that will require further clarity. And then they will do so when the lead evidence has been completed. And on that note, I recognize Mr. Falfour to proceed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in anticipation of the deliberations of the committee, once the evidence has been presented and after the members of the committee have engaged with questions of clarity and such other questions as they might wish to pose, I will, as the initiator, hand up a written set of submissions referencing various parts of the evidence, including the video clips, and those submissions will make specific reference to various minutes and seconds, and I will do the same in relation to the Hansard. I think that will assist the members of the committee in their deliberations, in their own time, going back to see what the evidence was so that they can satisfy themselves that indeed was the evidence that was presented, and when they deliberate as a group, I trust that it will help them in that debate.
I think that will help, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Um, Mr. Casso and Mr. Chairman and your committee, I'm not necessarily going to deal with the charges in the numerical order or indeed the order in which they appear. And I would like now to hop, skip and jump a bit. You'll just have to have faith for now that there is method in my apparent madness. But there is a charge in relation to what might be called creating or participating in a disturbance. And that charge in relation to the Honorable Shivambu is charge 6. Mr. Casso, if I might refer you, please, to bundle C, to bundle C. It's that bundle that has the notices of the hearing in relation to the various honorable members. And the charge in the notice in relation to Mr. Shivambu is the relevant part of it, my apologies, is at page 3 of that bundle. Charge 6, page 3.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. If I might ask you, please, Mr. Casso, to read the text of charge 6 insofar as it relates to Mr. Shivambu into the record, please.
Charge 6. It is alleged that you are guilty of conduct constituting contempt of Parliament in terms of Section 13A of the Act, in that as a member of Parliament and during questions to the President in the National Assembly on 21 August 2014, you contravened Section 7E of the Act by creating or taking part in a disturbance within the precincts of Parliament while the House was meeting by inter alia shouting and or banging on tables and or refusing to obey the Speaker's instructions and or generally conducting yourself in a grossly disorderly manner, thereby interfering with and or disrupting the proceedings of the House, forcing the Speaker to suspend proceedings temporarily and ultimately to adjourn the sitting for the day.
Thank you, Mr. Casso. Staying with the pack of notices, which is bundle C, and in relation this time to the Honourable Mr. Ramakatsa. Mr. Ramakatsa's notice is at page 6 of bundle C.
I am there, Mr. Chairman.
And charge 6 in relation to Mr. Ramakatsa, it's also the charge that has at its core creating or taking part in a disturbance. That appears at page 8 of the bundle. Do you see that?
Yes, I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
That charge, similarly, if you can just cast your eye over it, and I will read it at some speed. It is alleged that you are guilty of conduct constituting contempt of Parliament in terms of Section 13A of the Act, in that as a member of Parliament and during questions to the President in the National Assembly on 21 August 2014, you contravened Section 7, subsection E of the Act by creating or taking part in a disturbance within the precincts of Parliament while the House was meeting by inter alia shouting and or banging on tables and or refusing to obey the Speaker's instructions and or generally conducting yourself in a grossly disorderly manner, thereby interfering with or disrupting the proceedings of the House, forcing the Speaker to suspend proceedings temporarily and ultimately to adjourn the sitting for the day. Will you please just confirm that that charge 6 relating to the creating or taking part in the disturbance is the same charge as faced by the Honourable Shivambu?
I can confirm that, Mr. Chairman.
Now, in relation, Mr. Casso, to Ms. Litchfield Shabalala. Ms. Litchfield Shabalala's notice is at pages 11, 12, 13, and 14 of Bundle C.
Yes, I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
And the charge, insofar as creating or taking part in a disturbance is concerned, is charge 5 for Ms. Litchfield Chabalala. It was charges 6 in relation to Mr. Shivambu and Mr. Ramakatsa, but that self-same charge, if I can just ask you to cast your eye over charge 5 at the top of page 13, this being the notice in relation to Ms. Litchfield Chabalala. If you can just read that to yourself.
Yes, I have.
And will you confirm that that indeed is the same charge as charge 6 for Mr. Shivambu and Mr. Ramakatsa?
Yes, I confirm, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Similarly, in relation to Mr. Gardi, still staying with Bundle C, Mr. Gardi's notice dated 18 September is to be found starting page 15.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And if you go over the page in relation to Mr. Gardi's notice at page 16, you'll see a heading there, charge 4.
Yes, I can see it, Mr. Chairman.
Looking at the text of charge 4 there, will you please confirm that that also relates to creating or taking part in a disturbance within the precincts of Parliament and while the House was meeting? Do you see that?
Yes, I see that, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just making the point here that this charge 4 in relation to the Honourable Mr. Gardi is the same charge as charge 5 for Ms. Litchfield Shabalala and charge 6 for the Honourable Shivambu and the Honourable Ramakatsa. Moving then to the next notice, still staying at Bundle C, the notice in relation to the Honourable Ndlozi. That notice starts at page 19 and continues through page 22.
I am there, Mr. Chairman.
My apologies. The charge in relation to creating or taking part in a disturbance within the precincts of Parliament while the House was meeting and in the manner as described in that charge in relation to Mr. Ndlozi is at charge 3. Do you see that?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
And finally, on the charge insofar as it relates to creating or taking part in a disturbance is concerned, if I might refer you, please, Mr. Caso, to the notice in respect of the Honourable Mr. Malema, MP. That notice is to be found at page 23 through to page 26, still of Bundle C.
I am there, Mr. Chairman.
The charge in relation to creating or taking part in a disturbance insofar as Mr. Malema is concerned is numbered charge 3 and to be found on page 24 of Bundle C. Are you there?
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
If you please cast your eye over that charge. Once you've had an opportunity to do so, will you confirm that this charge 3 in relation to Mr. Malema, found at page 24 of Bundle C, relates to creating or taking part in a disturbance within the precincts of Parliament and while the House was meeting?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and the members of your committee, what I propose to do in relation to the Hansard and parts of the video footage is to lead Mr. Carso's evidence in relation to all of the named honorable members, being the Honorable Chivambu, the Honorable Ramakatsa, the Honorable Litchfield Shabalala, the Honorable Gardi, the Honorable Ndlozi, and the Honorable Malema in one go, as it were. I ever think it would be appropriate that Mr. Carso identifies the affected honorable members individually at the relevant part of the video footage. I can just, by way of a refresher, Mr. Carso, ask you please to turn to bundle A. It is that part of the bundle where you will find reproduced the act together with extracts from the rules. Bundle A, the act, the powers, privileges, and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act starts at page 43 of that bundle. And, Mr. Chairman, section 13 of the Act, the numbering in manuscript, top right-hand corner, page 48.
I'm there, Mr. Chairman.
If you can just read into the record section 13A, and then I'd like you also to refer to the relevant subsection of section 7. I think it was section 7E.
Section 13A, a member is guilty of contempt of Parliament if the member contravenes section 7, 8, 10, 19, 21, subsection 1, or 26. And section 7E, a person may not, while Parliament or a House or committee is meeting, create or take part in any disturbance within the precincts.
Thank you. What I would like Mr. Jerome Adonis to do at this point is to assist us by playing that part of the video footage, which is, my apologies, this is the part of the video footage on CD1. All of my references so far, Mr. Chairman and your committee, to the video footage have concerned CD1, and this is CD1, clip A. There are two clips on CD1. We're still concerned with CD1, clip A, and it's at 56 minutes and 50 seconds up to and including 57 minutes and 23 seconds.
Order, Chair. We want our money. We want
the house is
pay back our money.
Run our money.
Thank you. If I can ask Mr. Adonis just to take us back to roughly where it started, and I will try and signal with my hand the point at which I wish you to stop, and I'll ask Mr. Carso to identify certain of the members who are participating in the activity as recorded there. Sorry, just a little bit before that, before the camera goes to the speaker. Picasso, at that point, or rather up to that point, and having watched the clip, and in relation to charge 3, or my apologies, charge 6 for some, and I've explained that the charge is numbered differently, but it is that charge creating or taking part in a disturbance. Who can you identify as at this stage being involved in the activity there?
Honorable Malema is involved, actively involved. Honorable Shivambu is standing. There's Honorable Litchfield Chabalala. There's also Honorable Lozi. I think this is a part where Honorable Gardi is going like this, so that it's on pause at the moment. And I can't quite see now. I thought I saw Honorable Ramakata between Honorable Maxine and Honorable Blosi. But I certainly see Honorable Malema, Honorable Shivambu, Honorable Chabalala, Honorable Gardi, Honorable Blosi.
You say that you think you see Mr. Ramakata. Will it help if you get closer to the screen, or shall we ask Mr. Adonis to just rewind a bit?
If it could be replaced, Chair.
Mr. Adonis, please, if you can just get a little bit further back. That frame, do you see Mr. Ramakata there?
There is Mr. Ramakata standing next to Mr. Ndlozi.
Thank you, Mr. Carso. It appears your things are rapidly building up to a crescendo of sorts. You were in the house at that point. What is taking place there? What have, from your vantage point, what have we just observed?
Mr. Chair, as we all know,
it is during questions, and Speaker had already committed, for lack of a better word, to recognizing Mr. Honorable Olomisa, and there was then things started happening. Points of order were raised, a point of order was raised. There were also members who did not rise on points of order, but who addressed the speaker. And at this point, quite a number of members are on their feet, some of them speaking through the mic. And it would appear that some members are already shouting. And at least that's what the video demonstrates. And yes, so it was a series of activities that were building up in the house, and hence you have, as I said earlier on, you had a number of members on their feet at the same time, some of whom are addressing the speaker, and speaker is attempting to address the house, and members are not seated or sitting down while the speaker rises to address the house. Yeah.
Following this clip on the video, and the charge reads, creating or taking part in a disturbance within the precincts of Parliament while the House was meeting. At that point, was the House still in session?
At that point, the House is still in session.
If we can just ask Mr. Adonis to just take us a little bit back from this point so that we can identify the first occasion on which the Speaker says that the House is suspended. Or just to play it from here, please. Thank you, Mr. Adonis. That activity of any number of people being on their feet, speaking, shouting, screaming, banging on tables, I think you referred to the use of a hat in South African soccer terminology, otherwise known as a makarapa. Does that happen before the speaker says that she's suspending the House for a few minutes?
Yes, it did, Mr. Chair. According to the video that we have seen, the activity started before the sitting was suspended.
And until the sitting is suspended, how would you describe, what is the House still in session, or can people conduct themselves as they will?
If I understand your question correctly to you, Mr. Chairman, at that time, at that point, the House is still in session, and the rules are there to regulate business of the House, and the Speaker has a duty to apply, interpret,
implement the rules. And therefore, to the extent that the House is in session, the rules that are applicable to a sitting of the House, when the House is in session, the intention is that the rules must be observed by all in the House.
In your assessment, not only in relation to this clip, but also the ones a few minutes before this, the activities a few moments or minutes before that particular portion, and we did watch uninterrupted, I think, some 16 or 17 minutes of it earlier this morning, closer to 11 o'clock. What ultimately leads to the Speaker announcing, as she did just a few moments ago, that the House is being suspended?
Mr. Chairman, as I said earlier, it's a series of activities, and my understanding is that the Speaker made a determination that what was happening was disorderly and invoked Rule 56, which says that in the event of grave disorder, the proceedings of the House may be suspended. That's the determination the Speaker made. I already explained the events and the fact that a number of members were on their feet addressing the chair attempting to address the members, and chair attempting to preside or to direct the House in a particular direction. And the Speaker made a determination that this was not happening, and the House was not able to proceed with the scheduled business as it is meant to, and to make the call to suspend proceedings. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
At that point, the Speaker, and we'll get to the Hansard, but we've seen it on the video footage, the Speaker says she's suspending the House for a few minutes. At that point, had the Honourable Holomisa yet asked or been given an opportunity to ask his supplementary question?
No, he had not asked, Mr. Chairman.
If I can please ask Mr. Adonis just to let the footage run a little bit from there.
On a point of order, Chair. One hour money. We want
the House to sustain
back our money. One hour money.
At that point, a person in robes appears to be approaching the front benches, where some of the honourable members who are standing and speaking simultaneously, etc. Can you please just identify that person?
That, Mr. Chairman, is the Sergeant at Arms.
From your knowledge as to what happened in the House in that moment and the moments thereafter, did the intervention by the Sergeant at Arms lead to the Honourable Members leaving the chamber?
According to the recording, the video recording, the members did not leave the chamber. And I might just add, Mr. Chair, that ordinarily members would leave the House even before the the Sergeant at Arms has to approach the members. It does happen sometimes that the Speaker would ask the Sergeant at Arms to approach a member, but it is normal that members would leave without being approached by the Sergeant at Arms. Once the Speaker says to a member, they must leave the House.
You said that you have been employed in Parliament since 1994 in various capacities, and that you have worked, I think you used the phrase, at the table in various capacities. In the time that you've spent working at the table, just from your recollection, have you seen a turn of development such as this?
I cannot recall, Mr. Chairman, an incident of this nature that involves members during a sitting. I can recall two incidents that involved. One involved members, but it was after adjournment. That was on the 17th of September, 1998, where there was a conflictual situation between members or among members, and a fight occurred. But that was after adjournment. House had adjourned. There was another incident on the 28th of October, 1997, where a group of young people staged a demonstration in the gallery of the House, and the proceedings were suspended due to grave disorder in that event, and resumed later. But an incident like this that involved members during the proceedings of the House, I cannot recall during my time here.
Thank you, Mr. Kwaso. It might be suggested that describing this as grossly disorderly, calling it a disturbance, is an exaggeration. Even a gross exaggeration. Might be suggested that it's a storm in a teacup, really much ado about nothing. What would your comment be in relation to that kind of assessment?
Mr. Chairman, the Parliament, including the National Assembly, is a creature of statute. It has certain constitutional responsibilities and obligations. When it meets to consider the serious business of the nation. And when it sets aside time for a particular transaction, of a particular business, it intends, because it has deemed it necessary to set that time aside to conduct that business, and therefore the intention is to conclude the business. I don't think anyone can take light the possibility that the House would not be able to conclude business. That's just my view. Not because it did not intend, not because it intended not to conclude business, but for any other activity or any exercise, whether it's a technical problem or anything else, one should view that in a serious light. That would be my response, just as a citizen of the Republic.
If If I can ask Mr. Adonis just to continue playing the clip from where we are now.
One hour money.
Someone uttered the words, "You won't remove us. We aren't going anywhere." Were you able to identify that person?
It appears, Mr. Chair, from the clip that it was Mr. Honorable Shivambu who uttered the words.
It seems rather obvious, but just to underscore the point, Mr. Shivambu does not say, "I will not be removed. I am not going anywhere." Your assessment, who do you think he is referring to?
Mr. Chair, he says we. I don't know who he was referring to, but he says we. And Speaker had just told members were on their feet to leave the chamber. And he says he will not leave the chamber. Okay.
I will address the committee in argument later. It might be thought that some people do indeed refer to themselves as we. I'm told that the Queen of England, for example, refers to herself as we. It might be contended that the Honourable Mr. Shivambu was deploying the same rhetorical reference. Mr. Chairman, I see that it is now 4:45. I now propose to move to another section of the charges. Sorry, my apologies. I just want to confer with a colleague. If I can ask, my apologies, Mr. Chairman, if I can ask Mr. Adonis at this point to let the clip continue to play. There are comments that I'd like to ask him what I've referred to as a second suspension. Continues for some time. Mr. Adonis, if I can ask you please to take us to that part of the footage which is at 1:04. My apologies, 1 hour and 4 minutes. 1 hour, 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
House and proceed with our program.
Just briefly, it might seem self-evident, if you can just describe what was taking place there.
The speaker had indicated that the House would be suspended for 3 minutes, and I think it was then reconvened 7 minutes hence. And at the start, you may have heard or overheard speaker say, I got barely a minute or 3 minutes, has 3 or 1 minute not ended, the bells would have been ringing at the time. And then speaker assumes her place. As I said when I started my session, that the mace was in the house. And then speaker asked members to be seated. And she then makes the announcement that we are being asked to vacate the house.
Thank you, Mr. Klaso. And if I can now ask Mr. Adonis to play the second clip, still on CD1, the second clip. It's not very long, Mr. Chairman and the members of your committee. It's just a little over a minute.
Honourable members, we have decided to resume the sitting briefly, simply to give you feedback about the time we had suspended the sitting and how the consultations with various groups, sectors that support the work of Parliament, as well as the Office of the President, would like to give you the feedback from the outcome of those consultations. We all know what happened in the House earlier on, and would like to allow the consultations that have started to continue, but having released the members of the House. Honourable members, we are faced now with a situation where we are unable to continue.
Thank you. Very briefly, Mr. Castle, if you can just describe, take us through those moments.
At that point, the business is resuming. I think, I just don't remember the time now. And speaker is announcing that there have been consultations and that the house will be adjourned. And the house, according to the agenda, shortly thereafter.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Klaso. Mr. Chairman, I propose to move on to a new area which will involve a big group of people, Group B, and then subsequently a large group of people, Group B and Group C. It's probably appropriate, with your leave and the leave of your committee, if we could take the adjournment for the day now at roughly 5 to 5. I anticipate that my further leading of Mr. Klaso will probably take us roughly until, if we start at 9, roughly until 10:45 tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, that is the request and which has been put through me. And what is the view? Normally we're supposed to be closing at 5, and 5 is just 5 minutes from now. Honorable Mdagan.
Chair, I think we should accept the proposal by the initiator, notwithstanding the fact that we are still, our stamina is still there until 12 midnight. But I think we should take the proposal by the initiator to adjourn until tomorrow at 9 for us to continue.
Okay. Honorable Matluku.
I will support the progressive suggestion of Honorable Mdangai.
Okay, yeah, that's history in the making. Honorable members, is that the view? Agreed?
That's history, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, thank you for agreeing for the hearing to adjourn. We will then start tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the same place. And of course, the witness will remain under oath until he completes the evidence that is leading to us. Thank you very much, and then the hearing is adjourned for today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.